Welcome to Career Tools. This week, event-based peer feedback, part one. The questions this cast answers are, what do I do if a peer asks for feedback? How do I give a peer multiple pieces of feedback at a time? And why should I learn to be a good evaluator? Labor Day signifies that two-thirds of the year is behind us, potentially creating a bit of angst for professionals who have training goals for their team or organization that they were supposed to get done by the end of the year. Now is the time to consider client on-site training that you want before 2020. While we are completely filled up until mid-October, we do have some capacity for client on-site training in November and December. But history dictates, by the end of September, we're usually booked up for the entirety of the year. So if you want to get your training done this year, contact Maggie@manager-tools.com and we'll train 30 of your people and you'll have an effective management team going into 2020. There's just time, but don't wait too long. So Sarah, this cast has a complicated title, Event-Based Peer Feedback, but basically it's feedback that you give to your peers, so not your directs, not your boss, but people on the same level as you. And it's a bunch of feedback around one event. And if you think about it, you associate the word feedback with some big thing, with like annual reviews or managers and directs. But actually, we evaluate and we give feedback all day long, right? A colleague asks for a view on an email, a presentation, a web layout. You know, you'll call it. I sent something to Maggie yesterday and said, hey, what do you think of this? Before I thought about sending it to Mark, because I just wanted someone else's opinion, you know, before I sent it to him. You know, maybe your boss asks you to research a potential vendor or software, or you're just looking at your own work and you want to kind of give yourself feedback or at least look at it critically before you send it somewhere. And so since this feedback, this evaluation idea is so common, we ought to be good at it. So what are we going to cover?
All right, today we're going to cover a few things. We're going to start with a peer feedback refresher, and then we'll also do the event-based feedback refresher. We're then going to talk about assessing your relationship, stating the behavior, describing the impact, making recommendations, and order your feedback.
It's long.
It's a long one.
But because peer feedback and event-based feedback, you need both of those to do this event-based peer feedback, the combination. So we just want to make a refresher of what that means. There are full podcasts on both of these, and we'll link to it on the podcast page. But we want to give you enough so that you can put the rest of the cast in context. And if you haven't heard those casts, then hopefully this will give you enough to move on. So we want to make sure that you're using the component parts properly, because if you don't use the component parts properly, then your event-based feedback will go horribly wrong. And the problem with feedback is it's so personal. Now, whenever we say feedback, we always think of negative things for a start, although feedback can be positive. But if it goes wrong, it can really damage your relationship. Sometimes your mother's right, and if you can't say something nice, it's better to say nothing at all. Now, you don't want to do that if your colleague is asking you about an email that's going out to a client and you can see something terrible in it. You know, you don't want to say nothing at all. You have to say something. But the important part is to say it in a way that doesn't damage your relationship, because damaged relationships means teams work less well, which means teams get less results, which means, you know, at the end of that chain, if we go down worst events, someone gets fired and we don't want that.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to start by then talking about the peer feedback model itself. So the peer feedback model is designed to make that, I want to say, awkward moment, as Wendy's talking about, a bit easier for, or as easy as possible for both the individual that's delivering it or the evaluator, as well as the recipient, the individual receiving it. We want to make sure you're using it properly. Giving and receiving feedback, both positive and negative, can be a sensitive moment. And even if the recipient, and I'm sure many of you have experienced this, even if the recipient is asking you point blank for that help in evaluating their performance or a little bit of feedback on a piece of work product, something they're developing. Hearing it from another person dissected and evaluated is often an uncomfortable moment for an individual.
Yeah, it's horrible when you think you've done something great and then you send it to someone and say, hey, what do you think? And they go, oh God, that's awful. And you're just like, oh, I know I asked for it, but now I'm sad.
In hindsight, ow, I thought it was better than that. Exactly. Absolutely. So we want to make the feedback as impactful or effective as possible. And there's no point in giving an individual a piece of feedback, whether they ask for it or not. There's no point in doing it if the individual that you're delivering it to isn't listening. They're not in the right frame of mind, not willing, not able to take advantage of the message and the impact that's being delivered. If they can't use it to have more effective future behavior, it's not worth delivering in the beginning, in my mind.
And even if somebody asks you and says, hey, what do you think of this? And, you know, you can see that they've just had a difficult conversation with their boss or they're about to go into a meeting. So you judge that this is not a good moment for them to hear feedback, then you can always say, hey, I can do that in like 15 minutes. I've got something to do, but I'll do it in a second for you. Or can we do it in our meeting at one or whatever? So you can put that moment off if you judge that this is not a good moment.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, which is super important in this. If you're familiar with the feedback model, manager to direct, the way that differs from the peer feedback model is that the peer feedback model only has two parts. The first part is to describe the behavior. The second part is to describe the impact. That's it. We're eliminating the question. That is the full feedback model. Managers start by asking the individual if they're open to feedback, because we're not going to ask our peer to continue or change behavior. There's no question this time. That said, in the manager to direct feedback model, what that means is we ask the person first, are you ready to receive it? As a peer, you're not going to ask. So if you know in your mind that they're not ready, just put it off a few minutes. Give them that moment to reset their brain. You're not asking the question to see if they're ready. So you do have to take a little bit more effort on your part to make sure they're in the best frame of mind to receive it.
There's a little bit of judgment there.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of judgment, absolutely. And we're also then, because we're only utilizing the behavior and impact steps, we're going to eliminate the fourth step. That is where we ask the person to change or to continue their behavior. We don't have the relationship with a peer that allows us as a peer to ask or require them to change their behavior based on our guidance.
Whereas a manager can say, change that.
Absolutely. It's a reasonable expectation that they would.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So we have a couple of examples. Here's one. Hey, you know, when you come in late for our joint meeting, that's the behavior part, late for our joint meetings, it kind of throws things off and we get behind a bit. That's the impact, we get behind. Here's another one. Partner, when you pull an all-nighter and brief that well, sure makes me glad we're working together. Thanks. And so with what we're doing is just giving shared insight. We're just sharing our thoughts. So you can say, you know, if you're going to give something positive, you can say, thanks, I really appreciate working with you, and so on. If you give a negative one, you can say, hey, you're cool, just the way I see it. Or, hey, this is just the way I feel. You know, if you said, when you come in late to our joint meetings, it kind of throws things off and we get behind, then the next sentence might be, just wanting to let you know. Or, I know you're busy, so maybe we should start these meetings at 15 minutes past the hour instead of on the hour. You know, is there something I can do to make it easier for you? So it's all about kind of a shared working out of a problem. It's like, oh, hey, I noticed this doesn't go so well. Can we work it out? Rather than a manager who would say, I noticed this doesn't go well. Work it out.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely.
So that's the peer feedback model.
All right. Now our event-based feedback refresher. Event-based feedback is a way that managers can give lots of feedback in a single instance at one time. It works if the behaviors that you're going to be talking about, there's a number of them that happened all at the same time you want to mention, then they occurred at a single event or within a short time frame in a somehow related way. So for example, in a single meeting that you attended, during a presentation that they delivered, a manager can give a bunch of feedback, both positive and negative, kind of all at once if it is all based around a single event. So staying specific in this case then, is what allows a direct to receive an abundance of feedback in one instance. Because it's singled around an event, rather than multiple different events, the brain doesn't have to jump all over the map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to give a bunch of vague feedback or feedback that's about different things because it's too confusing. So if we said, great job on the opening, overall timing was good, I wouldn't have hit hard on the cost issues. You have to stop with the analogies. Good use of visuals. It's like a bunch of like words that are not helpful. Because your head is so full of questions that this about the specifics, they won't hear any of it well. If you say great job on the opening, okay, if you said it to me, I'm thinking, okay, what's the definition of great? Which bit are you calling the opening? What was great about
what was
it?
The opening? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, was it because I asked a question? Was it because I had audience engagement? Was it because I was looking at them? Was it because my first slide was awesome? You know, it could be a million things. And actually, even if, as I read that, I was thinking, even if I was taking notes, I wouldn't be able to take notes about those issues that fast, because they're not specific. Because I would be writing great job on the opening, and then I would be like trying to write down my questions about it before they. Then by the time I'd done that, they'd have done the whole lot. So it's really important to be specific.
Mm-hmm. Event-based feedback just repeats, in this instance, the first and second parts of the peer feedback model. So while remaining specific, so that your brain, again, doesn't have to jump all over the place. It's not like watching a ping pong match. It's all about a single instance. So for example, when you started on time, it sent the right message efficiently. When you answered that question about the deck during your introduction, I do think it threw off your game and took a bit too much time. When you didn't say anything when Bob was talking after his time was up, that hurt your credibility and lost some folks. That said, when you did cut Bob off the second time, that was awesome.
And there's something about going a little bit more slowly as well, because you have to put more specifics into the sentence. It actually makes you talk more slowly. And if you go too fast, people can't keep up with you. You have to remember that in your own head, you can see the map of where you're going. Everybody else is going out in the dark and they're just following your words. So going more slowly helps the person listening. And we're reading, which makes it easy for us to keep going. But if you were doing it for real, you probably would have gone even slower and had some more pauses between those sentences. And you'd be looking at the person. So you would, or in the worst case, you'd be on the phone, but hopefully you'd be looking at the person. And so you'd be able to see if they're keeping up with you. If they're making notes, you can see when their pen stops moving. So you want to go at the same speed as they are keeping up with. And for different people, that will be different things. If you've listened to our podcast for a while, you've heard Mark quote Peter Drucker, probably one of his favorite reads. One of Maggie's favorite Drucker quotes is, "Listening is not a skill, it's a discipline. Anybody can do it. All you have to do is keep your mouth shut." And while Mr. Drucker suggests that communication is what the listener does, we might add, keep your eyes open too. As with any communication, it's not just the words that matter, it's the behaviors around the words. At our Effective Communicator Training, we teach you how to observe others' behaviors in a one-on-one conversation, a large group setting, or even in email. And when you have a good idea of the type of communicator with whom you're dealing, and you care enough to evolve a solid professional relationship, you can do that. Let us teach our organization these skills, either by having us come directly to you and working with up to 30 folks, or sending your folks to one of our Effective Communicator public conferences. This skill is great for those who are customer-facing, external, or internal. It's not hard, once you know what to do. So now we've talked about how the two models fit together. We're going to give you some more detail about what to say and how. So the first section was state the behavior and describing what you see and hear and not drawing conclusions is definitely the hardest bit of feedback. We can illustrate the difference with an example. So I could say a peer in a meeting, what they did was when you roll your eyes, cross your arms and move away from the table. Or I could say when you have a bad attitude. And you pretty much guarantee that people rolling their eyes and pushing away from the table and crossing their arms have a bad attitude. But bad attitude is the conclusion, not the behavior. And so if I said that to Sarah, her first thing would be, I don't have bad attitude. Like, it's not my attitude.
That was a ridiculous idea, Wendy.
Yes, exactly. My reaction was completely normal. So you can argue with a conclusion. You can't argue with behavior. So if I say to her, you pushed away from the table, she can't say, no, I didn't, because she did. And it was obvious and we saw it. So you either crossed your arms or you didn't. If you begin with a conclusion, you'll spend time talking to your peer about whether or not your conclusion was correct. And part of the reason for asking people for evaluation is that different people see things differently. If you describe the behavior, everybody sees that the same, right? And so you can move on to discussing the impact and what they can do differently. And that's the important part. Actually, what they did in some respect is the least important part because they did it, they can't change it. But understanding the impact and what they can do differently, that's the piece that gets them to the future.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. We don't just describe the behavior to avoid arguments, though. We also describe the behavior because it's the one thing that we can all agree on. That is, the conclusion is in the eye of the beholder. Right? If 10 people are in that meeting room and see that person roll their eyes, cross their arms, push back from the table, we're all going to agree that we saw crossed arms, rolling eyes, pushing back, but we're not going to agree necessarily on the actual conclusion. For example, one of us, Wendy, might conclude, oh, that's a bad attitude. One of us, like myself, I might be like, wow, I agree with the behaviors that person exhibits. That was a ridiculous idea and a perfectly appropriate response to that, right? One person might know, oh, well, yeah, that person had a rough night or they're having some personal issues and their reaction is a cover-up because they're kind of upset today. What we do about the behavior will depend on our conclusions, not on what we saw. So, because conclusions never something that everyone's going to have, why even discuss them?
Mm-hmm. So you have to start with the bit you can agree on, which is the behavior. And an evaluation is a description of what you saw and heard, and then the conclusions you drew. The description means the evaluator and the presenter are looking at the same thing. So let's say a colleague asks you to look at their presentation, and they've chosen Comic Sans font, which a lot of people say is unprofessional and childish and clownish and reserved for elementary school teachers, and it's not appropriate for a corporate presentation. If you jump to, I think your presentation looks unprofessional, or I think your presentation looks like it was done by an elementary school teacher, the presenter, the person who created that presentation doesn't know if it's the font or the color or the words they chose, the images, or a dozen other things about their presentation. And they can't change it and they can't make it better unless they know the specifics. So you have to get to the specifics and you have to agree on this is what you're seeing. So when you use Comic Sans font, that would be your behavior. When you use Comic Sans font, the pages have a pink border and your images are cartoons, presentation is unprofessional. And because this is peer feedback and you're not telling them to change, they can decide whether they change or not when you tell them what those specifics are. So what you're doing is you're telling them the behavior, and then we're talking about impact, and then we're letting them decide whether or not they change, unlike a manager who can require the change. Or, you know, if it's positive, carry on doing those things. So we're going to give you a bunch of examples now of the state the behavior section. And then we are, as we go through this podcast, we're going to add the impact step. And then we're going to add another step that's a kind of optional at the end. And so we're going to use the examples all the way through so that you hear the full construction by the end.
Mm-hmm. So for example, you made eye contact with everyone in the audience. Or your hands were shaking when you presented. The headings, which organize the information. Your font is not a consistent size. The customer said he called exactly on time. Your calendar has more personal items than work ones. You told me exactly what I needed to know in order to help you. Or there's an error in cell 45.
So those are all behaviors. There's no I noticed, there's no I like, there's no I feel, there's nothing about you in them. They're all just straightforward descriptions of behavior or work product. And if you have a license, personal license, you'll have the show notes and you can see that list. You can read the list. It's probably a little bit easier. Everyone else is going to have to keep it in their own head until next week when we talk about describing the impact. So the most important part of this is thinking about behavior and not conclusions. So as you go through the next week, look out for things that you see. You can sit in a meeting and take notes. You know, if it's your weekly staff meeting, you probably don't need to take really tidy notes. You probably, you know, there's some of it that's a repeat from other weeks. And you can sit and watch someone, not obviously, no, don't want to be stalking, watching them, but you can watch someone out of the corner of your eye and write down what you see in terms of behavior. Like this person has their laptop open during a meeting. This person takes a whole bunch of notes when people aren't speaking, which is a bit weird. Or this presenter, his hands were shaking, or this presenter is too loud, or is loud, not too loud, because that's judgment, is loud. So you can spend the next week practicing looking for behavior, and then next week we'll get to looking at the impact, and then we'll talk about what you can do to help your peers by giving them recommendations or suggestions about what else they can do.